From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter with this news. The last comprehensive study of air quality during the summer in downtown Juneau was done about 17 years ago. Now, the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation is planning to start tracking air quality again to learn more about the impact of cruise ship emissions. They shared details about the program at a public meeting last night. I was there and have this report. Juneau resident Sarah Davidson says she's been concerned about pollution coming from cruise ships.
I was affected by the air quality this past summer. My eyes burned on some days. I got headaches on other days, especially when there wasn't any wind.
She and about 40 other Juneau residents attended Tuesday night's meeting, hoping to learn more about what the state is doing to monitor cruise ship emissions. Ed White manages the DEC's cruise ship monitoring program. He says the 2018 season saw a big uptick in the number of public complaints about cruise ship emissions. The department sent out nine violation notices to ships in five different coastal communities last year. But White also admits that the system for monitoring those emissions is limited. It's done by an in-person team not using any fancy equipment, just their eyes to see how thick the plumes of smoke coming out of the ship's stacks are.
The cruise ship program just monitors for compliance, but we don't really look into what is in that. So that's why we brought Division of Air in for this project.
That means his department's job is just to see if the smoke coming out of the ships is too thick, not to determine what's in it or what the effect is on residents. That's why they're working with the Division of Air Quality this summer to take a closer look at air quality downtown. The division is planning to place 20 sensors around town to measure particulate pollution. They'll also have 10 mobile sensors at additional sites on days with more ships. At the end of the meeting, the public was invited to place markers on a map of downtown Juneau to help the team decide where to place the electronic monitors. Barbara Trost from the division says they're also looking for local volunteers to help.
Well, people that have volunteered means that we would be allowed to put one of our air quality monitors there, and then they would provide us with power for the sampling season.
They'd basically be hosting the sensor on their property for the summer. The outcome of the project will help the division determine if more sophisticated studies are needed. But air quality isn't the only concern Juneau residents have. Davidson is also the water manager for the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council. She says she called the department twice last summer, but not about air quality. She called to report water pollution from cruise ships in Gastineau Channel. She thinks that pollution was caused by scrubbers. That's the system ships use to remove sulfur dioxide emissions from exhaust. That material has to go somewhere, and in some cases, it ends up in Southeast waters.
It's an attempt at solving an air quality issue, but it's creating a water quality problem.
The air sensors will be placed by the start of this summer's cruise season and operate until October. And the state ferry system would lose nearly half of its cash reserves under Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposed supplemental budget. The legislature has added $20 million to the Alaska Marine Highway Fund last year as a stabilizer to cushion against common cost overruns and the maintenance needs for the aging fleet. Office of Management and Budget's Deputy Director Laura Kramer said a $13.1 million draw from that fund would not impact service.
The fund was in excess of what their operational needs would be for FY19. So the reduction of $13.1 million does not have an effect on their operations for the current fiscal year.
Transportation officials say the transfer leaves about $15 million cash on hand for the ferry system. In the meantime, Kramer said the $13.1 million is needed elsewhere.
$10.1 million is being taken to address deferred maintenance needs across the state, and $3 million is for information services for IT across all state agencies.
The governor is also asking for $1.4 million to be added to this year's budget towards steel work for four vessels, the Aurora, LeConte, Columbia, and Kennecott. Ferry officials say all four ships need the work to pass U.S. Coast Guard inspection. The governor's supplemental budget would require approval from both chambers of the legislature. On Monday, Senator Lisa Murkowski and a Democratic colleague reintroduced a bill aimed at preserving violence against Indigenous women and girls. Named for a North Dakota woman killed in 2017, Savannah's Act would improve data collection on missing and murdered Native women. Murkowski says records are so limited, authorities don't even understand the scope of the problem.
And this is where it gets so frustrating. We don't even know what we don't know with this. We don't know if our statistics are right. We know that they're bad, but we don't know how bad.
The bill would also require federal agencies to consult with tribes on reporting guidelines and other measures to protect Indigenous women and girls. This is the second go-round for Savannah's Act. In December, the original bill passed the Senate unanimously, but it was blocked in the House by a single lawmaker. As a result, the bill expired at the end of the year. This time around, Murkowski is expecting a smoother road.
To my knowledge, there is nobody that has a dug-in opposition, but you never can tell. You don't want to assume anything.
Murkowski says she's prepared to do the work to see the bill become law. And nothing found yet in the search for a medevac aircraft with three people on board that disappeared on its way to Cake. The plane, a twin-engine King Air owned by the emergency life flight company Guardian Flight, was traveling yesterday evening to the southeast community from Anchorage. Sitka Flight Services reported the plane was expected to arrive in Cake at 6:19 p.m., but it never showed up. Three Guardian Flight employees were aboard the plane when it went missing, a pilot, nurse, and a paramedic. Last night, the Coast Guard cutter Anacapa, an H-60 helicopter crew from Air Station Sitka, and several Good Samaritans searched an area 20 miles west of Cake. The search resumed this morning. The cutter Bailey Barco will relieve the Anacapa at the scene today. A National Guard H-60 helicopter from Juneau will also be joining the search. Search and rescue volunteers from Petersburg and Cake, the Alaska Marine Highway System, and Alaska State Troopers are also helping. And in Unalaska, the Coast Guard is investigating the death of a crew member on the cutter Douglas Monroe. 19-year-old Ethan Kelch was reported missing Saturday night. After a ground and air search, Lieutenant Brian Dykens says the Virginia man was found unresponsive Sunday on the west side of Omaknek Island.
It did occur. They are in Dutch Harbor. The cutter Douglas Monroe was in port receiving repairs, and the incident occurred early Sunday morning.
Dykens says local emergency responders performed CPR on Kelch before taking him to the clinic, where he was pronounced dead. While Dykens declined to say whether investigators suspect foul play, he did say the inquiry will be led by a Coast Guard unit that can conduct criminal investigations.
Coast Guard investigative service agents are working with the local law enforcement authorities there to investigate the cause of the death, and this is an active, ongoing investigation.
Dykens also says the Coast Guard has extended its condolences to Kelch's family, friends, and fellow crew members who are mourning his sudden tragic death. That's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Madeline Baxter.